With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm Kondorian Murad. They rock with us on Grant and Danny, and they will help you out. Draft a will, set up a trust, create a power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com, and be sure to tell them we sent you. You'll get a discount, kmlawyers.com. We talked earlier today about the big news out of training camp. Among the items today, left tackle, first team reps for Brandon Coleman, the rookie mid-round pick, all of our training camp conversation throughout camp is brought to you by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. We're going to get back into camp in just a little bit. We're also going to be talking with Ben Standing of The Athletic, who covers the Commanders, get some news and notes from today's first practice with pads. He stops by the show in 1 hour at 6 o'clock. But, Danny, right now we're talking about the future stadium for the Commanders, the fact that Wes Moore, the governor of Maryland, went to practice on Sunday, and he made no bones about it. He told reporters in a Q&A, I'm here because I want everyone to know that I'm serious and I really want this team, and we're putting our money where our mouth is and our effort where our press releases are.
Yeah, they are the leader in the clubhouse, and they should be. There's a million reasons why. The site doesn't have anything other than the current stadium. They're desperate for some sort of win.
By the way, what happens if they lose that stadium? I know it's not a ton of dates at this point. It's like 9-10 football games with preseason or whatever. But they do have concerts. I was just there for Luke Combs. It was sold out with 50,000 or whatever it was people at the concert. They have international soccer games. They have some college football games. There's enough there. I would imagine 20 to 25 events per year that is a revenue booster to the area. Now, maybe not as much bang for the buck as there should be because there's quite literally no restaurants or bars around there.
Right.
It was a hilarious sign of the time, something we talk about on the show every single day. My sister-in-law was going to that concert, and she said, hey, we're going to see Luke Combs tonight, you know, her and her friend. She said, where can we, what's really good right around the stadium to grab, like to grab something to eat or to pregame?
Oh, isn't that adorable?
And we're just like patting her on the head, like, oh, you non-football fan. You.
That is so precious.
You think because you're going to a concert at a stadium that there's going to be somewhere for you to eat or enjoy and be merry?
How many exits are you willing to travel before you have to get out of your car and park again? Yeah, I mean, the fact is they need that to work there. Maryland does, right? I mean, because that is a failed spot that hasn't produced what they want it to, and they're trying to get it to produce something. It's a feather in the cap for an administration. It makes sense because the team is already there, stadium is already there, the land is already there. They don't have to do anything in terms of financial outlays from a state perspective other than this new investment that they're going to build up around it. They want this, and the team, the ownership group, is going, thank you so much for your offer. They're like on Shark Tank once they get an offer from somebody, and they're going, does anyone else want to offer? Because you don't really want to work with Mr. Wonderful. Like, does anyone else have any offers for me? They're hoping against hope that everything works out for DC so they can go there. But if it doesn't, Maryland has already made its intentions clear.
Let's go to the phones and talk to Carlos in Saverna Park on G&D. Carlos, do you agree that Maryland should be considered a favorite to land the Commanders, or because they want to be in DC, is D.C. still the most likely destination?
Oh, it doesn't matter if they wanted to or not. They're going to take the money. Maryland is ahead by a long shot. You know, you got Wes Moore, you know, throwing footballs and doing play action plays with the fans and all, you know. And Bowser's not going to do that. You know, Bowser's not even lifting a finger and just stalling because I know it's government in D.C. And then Virginia's still having nightmares that they didn't do anything with the Capitals and Ted Leonsis. So Maryland is the favorite by far, even though, you know, a lot of people are going to hate to admit it. But guess what? It's football. They're going to go travel. You can't just say that you're not going to travel to Maryland. Guess what, buddy? This is the number one sport in America, as you know, as much as we say it is. It's going to happen. Hey, by the way, Danny, I was at the game yesterday. Did you get a bobblehead as well?
Which game?
The Orioles game.
Grant.
I was there. Yes, I did. Adley Rutschman bobblehead.
Perfect. Hey, man, listen, go O's. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was basically a switch hitter, Adley Rutschman bobblehead. So the bit was you open the box to see if he was left-handed or right-handed. And you can get one of the two. But
I was like, you were at my son's game in Great Falls? Is that what you're talking
David
about?
In College Park on Grant and Danny. They gave out bobbleheads at your son's game. Well, you didn't get one?
There was a lot of watching the other team score goals. My head was nodding up and down to that.
What's up, David?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Al?
Yeah, I just wanted to, just sharing everything that everyone else has said. Maryland for me is number one. It's a no-brainer.
Now, are you saying, let me just clarify. Are you saying it's number one most likely as the favorite or number one like your preference?
Both.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to clarify.
No, and it's all good. So the reason for that is, again, like two callers ahead said, was Virginia did nothing with the Capitals and with the Wizards. So for me, in your pie would be 5% chance Virginia. Then D.C., RFK, we've been hearing that for years and years and years. And on top of that, to be honest with you, just the space doesn't seem to be there anymore. They built the RFK fields over there and everything. Yeah, that's great and everything, but Maryland has the space. And if you want restaurants and stuff, there's the space to build it. What I love about the Maryland one is there is a lot of room for tailgating and for all different types of events and stuff.
Well, this is what we talked about on the show last week, David, is I made the point, and I really do believe this, that football is so tailgate-centric and that you need a parking lot. It can't just be, hey, we're in the city and there's some restaurants and bars and a metro, which is awesome, by the way. But for baseball, that is perfect. This little half-street corridor now with all these restaurants and bars. Nobody drives to Nats Park and parks. You get a few cars in the garages, and there's a couple of them. But for the most part, it's a lot of metro, or you're parking and walking from around the neighborhood. There's no tailgating culture in baseball. There's certainly not in basketball or in hockey for the most part. There is in football. That means something. You need some parking lot. And to have the ability to have parking with tailgating and the restaurants and the bars and the town center, that is irrefutably having, it's going to have to be a huge part of this. And just, it's not disputable that that is kind of the Robin to the stadium's Batman, the B to the A of the stadium. There is enough room. There's a footprint there to get a stadium done at RFK. There's not as much room as there would be in Maryland to get everything done.
You've been to the stadium in Vegas. Have you been to L.A. to the
not
Rams
been to
one?
SoFi,
okay.
No.
So how do they do it there? Because that's in the middle of the city, right?
Yeah. So everybody references, and last week a lot of people were going, "What about Allegiant? There's not really an ability to tailgate. It's in Vegas. You're at the sports. Literally, it's next to a sports book.
Yeah.
So what I did was I sat in a sports book in Las Vegas, and my buddy was at the slots and drinking and doing whatever, and I sat there and watched all the 1 o'clock games. And then we walked over an overpass and went to the game. Now, there is parking in some parking lots there. But for the most part, I think it's a completely different group of fans.
I'm sure it's totally different.
A different deal than, like, it's not a, to answer your question, though, it's not like an 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. day.
Right.
So, we'll leave the casino at 3:30 for the 4 o'clock kick. We'll walk over and walk in kind of vibe.
So, and that's obviously its own example. That's a very unique place. But I guess what I was trying to offer is the trend is to build in the city center. That's where it's been, right? Like, when you look at Philadelphia, you look at...
Not the trend. Those are older. The trend is the only way for owners to make money is to have real estate. So it's actually to leave the city and to go out into the suburbs.
Well, haven't we said that
it's not in the city?
That San Francisco is a disaster because it's an hour and a half away. They're not making money. Same with Miami. Don't they want to be closer to the centers?
Perhaps. I don't think anything about SoFi is a disaster. I think the fans might not like it that they have to drive. I don't think the owner has any problem with it. And I don't know what I have not been to that stadium, so I don't know what's out there in terms of right around it. But I think more often than not, the stadiums that are getting built now, Vegas, unless you're going out to Clark County or so, I don't know enough about the geography. But like the whole point of that was that they're putting it on the strip. Same with like T-Mobile Arena. That's an event town. You're walking down the strip. Yeah. You come out of the casino and you walk into the football game. But in most places, it's going further away. See the Atlanta Braves.
Right, for baseball and stuff, I guess a little bit different. The reason I'm asking the questions...
baseball is the one you would think that makes more sense in the city than football.
Well, the reason I'm trying to get to something, the reason I'm asking the questions is the idea that we're moving from football's about tailgating. It seems like that's slowly evolving to not just be that. If we're trying to build a Dunkin' Donuts and a Panera and four eateries and a Cheesecake Factory on campus, that's less about tailgating than it is to me about like the land and having everybody sort of pay field.
I think that's probably fair.
That's all I was trying to get to.
Because I think owners can make more money with those businesses paying in, to some pot to be right around there. But in those stadiums where those options exist, I still think there's pretty
Robust tailgating.
Immense, like, tailgating, too. You're spending a day in that area,
mm-hmm.
right? But, yeah, I think you can't argue both, necessarily. Like, you have to have the space to tailgate, and also I have to have a restaurant and a bar, I guess. But that seems to be the dream scenario
right.
for the new stadiums. But I'm trying to think of NFL stadiums. Minneapolis, I think, is downtown, or I know is downtown. So that would be a good example. And that's a state-of-the-art, amazing stadium. I'm not sure about parking and tailgating there. That might be a better argument. But by and large, it's like SoFi and San Francisco and yeah. those types where it's more rural.
So yeah, I'm less concerned about city center or otherwise. So just meaning yeah. if the design is, you know, I own everything around that as the owner. I'm now the NFL owner. I just made myself the owner, and everybody's paying taxes to me. That Leonsis Alexandria plan, where they sort of like pay, like I'm a liege lord, and they're paying fealty to me to be on my campus, so I get a portion of the sales tax to help pay for this thing. That's less about tailgating to me than it is about a Tuesday where someone's going to get their coffee at a Panera, so I get 5 cents of that or whatever, right?
Sure.
It just seems to me there's less tailgating emphasis going forward universally almost.
Yeah, I don't think the owner necessarily is going, we need to have a great tailgating culture. Because there's no money being made off of someone sitting in your parking lot
right.
tailgating.
Once you got that parking ticket, that's it.
But I think both are true. I think mm-hmm. to the owner, you're going, you cannot have a stadium now without a town center.
Yep.
See the Atlanta Braves or whatever. And in football, the only two last year were the X here in D.C. And the Dolphins, where there are no restaurants or bars within a mile. But fans, I think it's important to them.
Yep.
And that's why I bring that up all the time. The best thing currently about the experience of going to a game for 80-some percent of people, I'd imagine, happens from when you get there in the morning with all your buddies, sitting around throwing bags, throwing the football, eating and drinking and enjoying yourselves
yep.
before you walk in. And if you lose that, stadium's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And if they're winning, okay, then who cares? Not like you can't go sit at a bar, but families aren't sitting at a bar. You know, a lot of kids, a lot
That's
of
right.
dads and sons. You're not, where am I taking, you know, Truman? I can't go sit at the bar at the Green Turtle before the game or whatever, right? Let's go to Tim in... I always do this, Tawny Town. I never know what that is.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, how are you guys? I'm going to say that Maryland is the front runner, and here's the deal. I don't think it will be, though, in the location of FedEx. I think they'll locate it in such a manner that they'll draw D.C. and Virginia in a better situation with the highways and so forth. They have in FedEx a lot of land, and I think they're going to work out some starker exchange for land with Maryland to get it closer to like Oxon Hill or somewhere. And I think, you know, at this point, Congress has not acted on giving the land to D.C. That's not going to happen in a long, long, long time. With all the election going on and Congress turnover and so forth. And thirdly, D.C. has given money, of course, to Ted Leonsis, and the learners are asking for money from D.C. I don't think there's enough money from D.C.
Well, that's a
to
big
attract,
part, too, all of this, Tim, and thank you for the
Thanks,
call,
buddy.
Sir. Where is the money going to come from in D.C.? The $600 million almost that they gave Ted Leonsis for the Wizards and the Capitals seemed to tap them out pretty good. And we've talked about, he just referenced some of the renovations and things that just happened in Nats Park. But we heard from
Yes.
lawmakers on our show leading up to the Virginia-DC dispute that basically it was one or the other. And I'm paraphrasing, but hey, we could give the Wizards and the Capitals money, but then we probably kiss the Commanders goodbye. How are they suddenly going to have the money for both?
This is a great question above my head, above my pay grade, certainly in terms of politics. It seems to be when there's desperation, we just, things magically happen.
And we just right? find it.
There was a debt limit. There was a rule that they could not possibly exceed a single cent over it. Would you look at that? We actually have hundreds of millions of more dollars available to us to borrow than we thought we did. Just, it sort of turns out. I'm not accusing anybody of impropriety, simply saying that all of a sudden came out of nowhere. That was left field. They were gone.
So you don't view that as a hurdle?
Oh, it is, but my point all along in discussing these different elements with D.C. is everyone just sort of counted it like it was done every step of the way when it came to any news about D.C. That's going to happen. It's going to happen. My point has always been everyone is underestimating how difficult it is. everyone's underestimating how difficult every millimeter of this million-mile race
is. It seems like if there's a thousand steps to get it done, literal steps, like walking 1 foot in front of the other, every step is a boulder up a hill.
Into a headwind. Like, this is so far away from being a done deal. Like, every time we go, hey, there's bipartisan legislation. The mayor of D.C.'s best buddies, like some Republican senator from Oklahoma or wherever the hell it was, where they saw eye to eye on stuff, and they're high-fiving each other. This is going to happen. And my point all along is, no, it's not. Well, so far away from it.
Here's what I didn't have in the office pool. Stephen Daines, who I'd never heard of,
mm-hmm.
out of Montana, who came on our show, saying, not on my watch. One of the few guys with the power to slow this whole thing down and basically stop it. Not until you admit that the old name and the old logo was awesome, basically. The thing that you just changed because everyone wanted you to, and you were, you know, like, basically the commanders are going, you know, it's like they're being told, put your hands in the air, put your hands down, put your hands in the air, put your hands down. You're like, please don't shoot.
Right.
What do you want me to do here? Just let me know.
Yep.
Change your name and your logo. Okay, we did it. Why do you change your name and your logo? You can't have your stadium now. Like, they're just caught in the middle of...
just trying to make people happy.
Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. What's up, Kev?
Hey, guys. I just want to say, I don't think any of them are a slam dunk. I mean, we've already said it. Landover has been a failed site. And it was failed before we all knew just how horrible Dan Snyder was. Okay? It sits out there in the middle of nowhere. Okay. Town center? Certainly. But is that... lipstick on a pig? I don't know. Who wants to go out there? One of the things I keep thinking of is not even so much the tailgating and before the game, it's after the game. What do you do? Like, you want to maybe continue the day, say it's a 1 o'clock kick. If they could do a land swap of some sort and get a property there in the vicinity of MGM and National Harbor, that could definitely
That's
work.
The dream.
Because it's simple,
but,
right?
Have either of you guys, Kev, I'm asking you, Danny, there has never really been mention of that. Like, people like me and you and Danny keep saying, you know what would be cool is National Harbor.
So years
That's
ago, Kevin,
never come up.
Do you remember this? Wasn't Larry Hogan sort of at one point flirting and mentioning it? Then he said, you know what? They're trying to better deal me. I'm out. I'm not paying attention to you guys
But
anymore.
Everything on Maryland in the last several years has been Landover. It's all been
Landover
like what we call 2.0.
And I think it's been Landover or bust because they own the land. And all I know, though, is, and Rick Snyder would be someone to have back on because he just knows this stuff cold. And he talked about the site.
That's a good point.
Love the chat with him about it, yeah.
He talked about the site not far from National Harbor because, you know, I don't think you could sustain another casino that close, right? But to me, if you had a casino and you had a town center, you know, you could get past the gap of, well, we don't really have public transportation. Because remember, a lot of people don't tailgate. You know, I just think of Nationals and Capitals and Wizards fans. A lot of people get there through the metro. I don't know what the percentage would be.
Right, but here's the thing about that, and thanks for the call. We talked about this last week. With hockey and basketball and baseball, the several game a week 7 o'clock starts are now 6:40 because the Nats want to annoy me. But the evening, weekday, regular, there might be, in some cases, six in a week or three to four in a week or whatever. Downtown metro, necessary, vital, has to be a part of the fabric. This is football is a Sunday morning commute and a Sunday afternoon drive home. 90-some percent of the time for the length of the contract of this stadium. Metro is less vital. I'm not saying you don't need it. You absolutely do. They can position the stadium to be as close to the metro out in Largo or whatever that metro stop is. Is that right, Darius? Is that Largo out there? As the metro to RFK, I would imagine, or comparable at least. They can make it way more convenient out there. But my point is just, you can't have the Caps and the Wizards in a building where there's not Metro right there. It's why part of that Potomac Yards location, the biggest story was the Metro station. Same with the Nationals. People are not driving and parking by and large. You're getting out of the office. You're going over. Football is just different. You're driving with a bunch of stuff in a cooler in the trunk with six people. You're parking at 9:57 in the morning, and you're leaving at 4:13. Like, it's a whole different thing, and because of that, Metro's just not as important. 800-636-1067 if you guys want to take part in the conversation. 800-636-1067. I also want to cover a couple of football notes today, including something I mentioned earlier in the segment. Brandon Coleman getting first-team reps at left tackle. What could this mean for the rookie offensive lineman and for Washington's O-line? We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. Before training camp, we made a list of players that we thought might be the most important X factors for the Commanders this season. One of the players on that list was Brandon Coleman, who Washington drafted, and who we thought, coming out of Texas Christian, might have a chance to get on the field early this season at tackle. What if he ended up starting at left tackle? He has now gotten time with the first team on both the right and the left side. He has played right tackle, left tackle. Right tackle was because Wiley wasn't healthy, and so he got some work, although supposedly it went well. Now he got some reps on the first team with the left tackle role. Cornelius Lucas was healthy and watching him, or maybe doing some maintenance day type thing, but he just got some of the first team reps at left tackle. Danny, if he were to emerge from camp in a place where they start giving him a look in preseason games with the ones,
yep,
and then he shines, and in week one he's the starter.
What a coup.
How much different do you feel about that draft class?
It changes everything. No hyperbole. I mean, it changes everything. This regime did not go out and do something in free agency or with a higher pick in the draft. They went to a third round guard slash tackle. Half the league still thinks he's a guard. That's why they didn't take him, who nobody had going right there. 67 overall.
He was their fifth pick, by the way. Because remember, so they took Jaden Daniels at 2. Then they come back at 36 and get Johnny Newton. Then they're on the clock at 50 and we're going left tackle, left tackle, left tackle, left tackle. Mike Sander is still Michigan. They pick at 53. You go, okay, finally. They're going to get their tackle. Ben Sinnott, tight end, Kansas State. And then it was 67th overall, Brandon Coleman, TCU, who played a bunch of guard in college.
If he's a tackle and he's good, not just he starts here because there's nobody else, but he's actually quality at that spot, these guys should walk around daring people to question them. People like me will have to shut up. I think this is a huge risk. I think this is scary. He might turn out to be great, but I just wouldn't have the chutzpah to do this on my own. I wouldn't have the courage to say, I'm going to entrust the safety of my prize pupil, my number two overall quarterback, to a journeyman swing tackle or a neophyte was a guard an hour and a half ago at that incredibly huge spot. It's not just me saying it's a huge spot. Look at the pay structure of what's going on in the league. It's the second or third highest paid position in the sport behind quarterback. You're seeing where the money's going. Are you a quarterback? Do you protect the quarterback? Do you catch passes from the quarterback or do you hit the quarterback? That's who's getting paid in this league. And they went with the cheapest, cost-efficient flea market option to fill the ultimate need. That would be, it's so ballsy, I would never do it. But if they do it and they're right, oh my God.
Well, the last regime constantly did things that we questioned and they were wrong all the time. It would just feel great to kick off this regime.
Wouldn't it be nice?
With one where we go, that probably wasn't the right decision, guys. And then they're right, and we go, oh, now we don't know what we're talking about, and the team does.
Yeah.
That would be fun. That would be a nice change. The second part was not that way for a while. The other of the offensive linemen that was notable out at practice over the last couple days apparently was Michael Dieter, who has been getting some first-team reps. He's now splitting time at guard, it sounds like, with Nick Allegretti. Here's what I want to make sure we don't do. They're probably working a lot of different angles. Hey, we got to see this guy work next to this player. We want to get him some reps to see what it looks like. Or let's make sure that Coleman gets enough work at practice so that he's ready for the preseason game because we're going to get him 20 snaps or all kinds of different things. So we shouldn't take a ton out of who's practicing with who, first, second team, whatever. But when it's being noted by a bunch of the reporters that Michael Dieter's now seemingly getting more work, elevated role, starting to split some reps. That's interesting. He's 27 years old. He was one of the many free agents that they signed this offseason. He's a big guy. 6'6", 315. He did not start 2 years ago in Miami, but this past year, got forced into duty and had 10 starts with the Houston Texans. He's got 18 starts over the last three seasons. He's played center and some guard. Remember, Allegretti was a backup with the Chiefs, who they brought in to start.
Yep.
And I would imagine to compete, like if Dieter ends up beating him out, so what? You signed both of those guys.
Yep.
They're both guys you brought in. But that's another competition that it seems like they've created on the offensive line. So all of a sudden, between Lucas versus Coleman, Allegretti versus Dieter, maybe, just maybe, you throw enough bodies at a problem, and out of that comes a solid offensive line. That's certainly the hope.
That's the idea, right? And I give him credit for, well, no credit yet. I the concept of let's throw bodies at it if we're not going to go out and go marquee, because again, this wasn't a great offensive line class in terms
quantity
of free agency.
Quantity over quality was the plan.
Yeah, if you know, the best tackle on the market was Tyron Smith, who went for $7 million to a contender. Like, and he's my age, basically. It wasn't a great tackle class. It wasn't like they could just fix it that way. It's why, personally, I would have addressed it very early in the draft. The price was too rich for them to trade back into the first round to take Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma. I would have done that. I would have used some of my capital to move up, and because I'm so desperate at that spot, and I had an advantage over everybody else. If I couldn't do that, I would have used one of my second-round picks, one of the three that I didn't choose a left tackle. I would have done that. But again, if they find this guy in Coleman, or Cornelius Lucas is the answer all along. They've already had the solution here under contract. It's just a matter of finding the right person to bring the skill set out of them, or who knows what it is. Yes, but I'm also with you in terms of not overreacting to who's lining up next to whom. This is a position with lots of attrition, right? This is an injury-riddled spot, the offensive line. Just think about, off the top of your head, name every center that's played for Washington over the last 5 or 6 years, right? I mean, they go through that position like I go through socks. So you need to see everybody from Chris Paul to Brandon Coleman to Ricky Stromberg to Michael Dieter to Trent Scott to Mason Brooks at various points. You're going to need bodies at those spots. So mixing and matching, a little bit less of a deal to me than it is, oh my God, he's taking over for Allegretti. We don't know yet.
Yeah, I don't necessarily care who starts where, honestly. I'm not married to anybody on that O-line other than maybe
Cosme.
Well, Cosme is in a league of his own for sure at right guard. Of all the new guys, I guess, is what I'm thinking. Like, Biotish at center is a guy, based on what you paid him, he's got to start, mm-hmm. and he better be good, $10 million per year. But yeah, it's Cosme and it's Biotish. Right tackle, who cares? Wiley was the last team's guy, and they paid him probably more than they should, and I think Bieniemy, after coaching him in Kansas City, advocated for him. But if you like something else at right tackle, or maybe you think your best line is Lucas on the left side and Coleman on the right side to begin the year, cool.
Fun.
No problem with mm-hmm. that. If Lucas doesn't start, he's a journeyman, he's a veteran, he's done okay, but I'd prefer the kid to start anyway, so let's do that. Allegretti's awesome. We had him on the show. What a great guy he is. But if he's in a competition and Dieter has a better preseason, great. Let Allegretti push him all season long, hopefully. I think that they're in an okay spot to at least push each other and maybe get the best out of what's on the roster. My question is just still, do you have enough talent to have a really good O-line? Like, an okay player is not going to suddenly become great because they're competing.
Mm-hmm.
You get the best version of Biotish or the best version of Allegretti or Dieter or something like that. That's good coaching. That's good team building. But if that's still a 5 out of 10 player, where are my 7s and 8s on the O-line? You probably need one or two more of those guys. One of the biggest stars in the NFL was bashing Commanders fans and things about the Commanders organization. We've got that audio for you next on G&D. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Top of the hour right at 6, 15 minutes from now. Ben Standig of The Athletic, who's been out at training camp every day. We got a slew of questions to throw at him based on some of the roster battles and really all of the FAQs from camp and things you need to know as you get ready to head home for the day in traffic, wherever it is that you're headed this evening. We appreciate you listening to us on The Fan. Davante Adams, who is a Pro Bowl talent at wide receiver, widely considered to be one of the best players in the league right now and the best wide receiver in football, really over the last 6-7 years since he became the number one in Green Bay and made his first Pro Bowl back in 2017. Since then, nobody's put up better numbers or been more consistent than Davante Adams. He's featured on the Receiver Show on Netflix right now, and he also was recently on a TV show where he and Amon-Ra St. Brown both sat down and were grilled on a bunch of NFL questions, one of which was about the fan base that annoys them the most and or they think is the worst, something like that. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, as you'd imagine, said the Green Bay Packers, that's the arch rival. Easy cannon.
Makes sense, right?
Cannonball was trained.
Yeah, if you watch that show Receiver, he's like, yeah, I could barely move, and like my side was broken, and I had to go to the hospital, but I was going to play against Green Bay.
Davante Adams, who's only ever played for the Packers and the Raiders, decided to take a swipe at the Washington Commanders.
And then you got the Washington football team. I mean, they obviously just miserable because the stadium is horrible. The city is not great at all. I'm probably going to get somebody at my front door after this, but that's just how I feel. We on hot ones right now, so it's just a raw cut.
Right.
I get that the stadium's bad, although it's funny to hear an NFL player say the stadium is just horrible.
Yeah.
What's he got against D.C.? The city, did he say, is just bad? Is he talking about, like, crime rate? Does that bother him? I don't know. Like, what is he referencing?
I don't know.
What about D.C. is bad, really? I mean, people have their gripes and their annoyances, and if you want to talk about there's a lot of carjackings or this is happening or whatever, I don't think Davante Adams is making a statement on crime when he says that. Is it the moniker that we're known for politics? Or
yeah, I wonder what he's talking about. I mean, because when teams come play here, it's not like they're staying in downtown D.C., right? Aren't they in...
I think when he says the city, like, does he mean just the area around the stadium? Is that what he's referencing?
If so, then he's correct. Then his assessment is right on.
Yeah, there's nothing over
I agree,
there.
Mr. Adams.
Right? Let me hear it again, because the way that he says it, it feels like he's saying the stadium's awful, the area right there is bad. And instead he says the city, which makes it look like D.C. I don't even know. Does he know that that's not D.C.? You might just land and you know, your police escorts you with your headphones on, and next thing you know, you're playing the D.C. team. Do you know the difference between Landover, Maryland, and Raljan, and the nation's capital, and where the border is? I really don't know.
And then you got the Washington football team. I mean, they obviously just miserable because the stadium is horrible. The city is not great at all. I'm probably going to get somebody at my front door after this, but that's just how I feel. We on hot ones right now, so this is just the raw cut.
Right.
The city is not great at all. Sorry about being the most powerful in all the world. Sorry about all the amazing history and the monuments and the statues and everything that is beautiful and the museums. I take great offense to this.
I'd love to get some clarification.
I'm annoyed by this.
So if he's telling me that the area leading up to, you know, Garrett A. Morgan Boulevard with that Taco Bell isn't the nicest place in the world, all right, I get that. That's totally reasonable.
I love Garrett A. Morgan Boulevard. It gets me in and out of the stadium with ease.
That's your favorite. I'm a Bright Street guy, I'm sure.
You're not a nothing guy. If it's over by that stadium, it ain't your bag of donuts.
Yeah, Davante Adams and I are high-fiving. We're doing a Spider-Man meme on that. But if he's actually talking about the city itself, I would say you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. So do you think he means the area around the stadium?
I think so, because I think our diction, it's like, you know, you could say a word that means something to somebody. Or like if you're traveling in another country or whatever, and you say something and they're like, what the heck? You know, what are you thinking? And then you're like, no, that's not what I meant. I meant this. I think he's just referencing like the city right there. And we're going, he never says D.C. He does not say D.C.'s not that great.
So, for example, let's say you've never been to New York, right? Like you're from the West Coast or whatever, and you fly and land in, you know, North Bergen County, Jersey or whatever, and you go to the Meadowlands. You're going, the city's not that nice, or the city's not that great. What's impressive about the city? Because all you saw was like the airport, a motel, a hotel close by.
Do you think it's possible that Davante Adams thinks that the state, that is D.C., where the stadium is?
Yes.
I do, too. I mean, he's from California, I believe. He played at Fresno State.
Mm-hmm.
He's only ever played for the Packers, who came here twice, in 2016 and in 2018. By the way, here's why he's salty. He's played Washington four times. He's never had a big game. He has had a 3-catch, 42-yard game in 2016 at FedEx, the artist formerly known as FedEx. He had a 7-catch, 52-yard game with a touchdown in 2018. Fine, but for Davante Adams, that's not...
Who's doing 1,500 yards and 14 touchdowns when he gets out of bed.
He had a 4-catch, 41-yard game against Washington at Lambeau in 2019, the Taylor Heineke experience. Maybe that was before Heinicke. And then 2021, that was the Heinicke game. 6 for 76 and a touchdown. So he's been okay, but way below his normal career numbers against Washington. 4 games, an average of 5 catches for 50 yards, basically, in his career. So I think that's why he's a little bit salty.
He's 0-2 in FedEx Field, or Commander's Field, or the X, or whatever we call it.
Nubs.
Yeah, Nubs Field. There it is.
The X, he's 0-2? Is that right?
What about, he didn't play in that playoff game when Aaron Rodgers?
Well, he's 1-2.
Ah, yeah. I guess StatsMuse didn't put in the playoff game.
Didn't have that.
That doesn't go on the win-loss ledger.
Remember when Washington was rolling and Aaron Rodgers did a hard count, drew somebody offside, and then they dominated?
Who jumped? I have it in my mind as someone. I'm not positive.
I don't know it.
Take your best guess.
So what year is that? 2015?
Yes.
Chris Baker?
I think it's someone different.
I think it might be Pot Roast, Terrence Knighton.
No, well, maybe. I have it as Trent Murphy. I think he got Trent Murphy to jump off sides, and all hell broke loose after that.
Because Washington was in control. Now, DeSean Jackson refused to get into the end zone. He had no interest in it, and he went sideways, and instead of like trying to get in, then they ended up setting up for a field goal.
Devontae Adams, go back to whining on the show Receivers, by the way. Has anyone ever whined more than you did with the Raiders last year? He is not a fan of Commanders fans.
Trent Murphy.
Ben Standing of The Athletic next. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Top of the hour right at 6, 15 minutes from now. Ben Standing of The Athletic, who's been out at training camp every day. We got a slew of questions to throw at him based on some of the roster battles and really all of the FAQs from camp and things you need to know as you get ready to head home for the day in traffic, wherever it is that you're headed this evening. We appreciate you listening to us on The Fan. Devontae Adams, who is a Pro Bowl talent at wide receiver, widely considered to be one of the best players in the league right now and the best wide receiver in football really over the last 6-7 years. Since he became the number one in Green Bay and made his first Pro Bowl back in 2017. Since then, nobody's put up better numbers or been more consistent than Devontae Adams. He's featured on the Receiver Show on Netflix right now, and he also was recently on a TV show where he and Amon-Ra St. Brown both sat down and were grilled on a bunch of NFL questions. One of which was about the fan base that annoys them the most and or they think is the worst, something like that. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, as you'd imagine, said the Green Bay Packers, that's the arch rival. Easy cannon.
Makes sense, right?
Cannonball was trained.
Yeah, if you watch that show Receivers, he's like, yeah, I could barely move and like my side was broken and I had to go to the hospital, but I was going to play against Green Bay.
Devontae Adams, who's only ever played for the Packers and the Raiders, decided to take a swipe at the Washington Commanders?
And then you got the Washington football team. I mean, they obviously just miserable because the stadium is horrible. The city is not great at all. I'm probably going to get somebody at my front door after this, but that's just how I feel. We on hot ones right now, so this is just the raw and cut.
Right.
I get that the stadium's bad, although it's funny to hear an NFL player say the stadium is just horrible.
Yeah.
What's he got against D.C.? The city, did he say, is just bad? Is he talking about like crime rate? Is that bother him? I don't know. Like, what is he referencing?
I don't know.
What about DC is bad, really? I mean, people have their gripes and their annoyances. And if you want to talk about there's a lot of carjackings or this is happening or whatever, I don't think Devontae Adams is making a statement on crime when he says that. Is it the moniker that we're known for politics? Or?
Yeah, I wonder what he's talking about. I mean, because when teams come play here, it's not like they're staying in downtown DC, right? Aren't they in?
I think when he says the city, like, does he mean just the area around the stadium? Is that what he's referencing?
Yeah, if so, then he's correct. Then his assessment is right on.
Yeah, there's nothing over
I agree,
there.
Mr. Adams.
Right? Let me hear it again, because the way that he says it, it feels like he's saying the stadium's awful, the area right there is bad. And instead he says the city, which makes it look like D.C. I don't even know. Does he know that that's not D.C.? You might just land and you know, your police escorts you with your headphones on, and next thing you know, you're playing the D.C. team. Do you know the difference between Landover, Maryland, and Raljohn, and the nation's capital, and where the border is? I really don't know.
And then you got the Washington football team. I mean, they obviously just miserable because the stadium is horrible. The city is not great at all. I'm probably going to get somebody at my front door after this, but that's just how I feel. We on hot ones right now, so this is just a raw and cut.
Right.
The city is not great at all. Sorry about being the most powerful in all the world. Sorry about all the amazing history and the monuments and the statues and everything that is beautiful and the museums. I take great offense to this.
Exactly. I'd love to get some clarification.
I'm annoyed by this.
So if he's telling me that the area leading up to, you know, Garrett A. Morgan Boulevard with that Taco Bell isn't the nicest place in the world, all right, I get that. That's totally reasonable.
I love Garrett A. Morgan Boulevard. It gets me in and out of the stadium with ease.
That's your favorite. I'm a Bright Street guy, I'm sure.
You're not a nothing guy. If it's over by that stadium, it ain't your bag of donuts.
Yeah, Devonta Adams and I are high-fiving him. We're doing a Spider-Man meme on that. But if he's actually talking about the city itself, I would say you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. So, but do you think he means the area around the stadium?
I think so, because I think our diction, it's like, you know, you could say a word that means something to somebody. Or like if you're traveling in another country or whatever, and you say something and they're like, what the heck? You know, what are you thinking? And you're like, no, that's not what I meant. I meant this. I think he's just referencing like the city right there. And we're going, he never says D.C. He does not say D.C.'s not that great.
So, for example, let's say you've never been to New York, right? Like you're from the West Coast or whatever. And you fly and land in, you know, North Bergen County, Jersey or whatever. And you go to the Meadowlands. You're going, the city's not that nice. Or the city's not that great. What's impressive about the city? Because all you saw was like the airport, a motel,
a
hotel close by.
It's possible that Devonta Adams thinks that the state, that is D.C. where the stadium is.
Yes.
I do too. I mean, he's from California, I believe. He played at Fresno State.
Mm-hmm.
He's only ever played for the Packers, who came here twice, in 2016 and in 2018. By the way, here's why he's salty. He's played Washington four times. He's never had a big game. He has had a 3-catch, 42-yard game in 2016 at FedEx, the artist formerly known as FedEx. He had a 7-catch, 52-yard game with a touchdown in 2018. Fine, but for Devonta Adams, that's not...
Who's doing 1,500 yards and 14 touchdowns when he gets out of bed.
He had a 4-catch, 41-yard game against Washington at Lambeau in 2019, the Taylor Heinicke experience. Maybe that was before Heinicke. And then 2021, that was the Heinicke game. 6 for 76 and a touchdown. So he's been okay, but way below his normal career numbers against Washington. 4 games, an average of 5 catches for 50 yards, basically, in his career. So I think that's why he's a little bit salty.
He's 0-2 in FedEx Field, or Commander's Field, or the X, or whatever we call it.
Nubs.
Yeah, Nubs Field. There it is.
The X, he's 0-2? Is that right?
What about, he didn't play in that playoff game when Aaron Rodgers?
Well, he's 1-2.
Yeah. I guess StatsMuse didn't put in the playoff game.
Didn't have that.
That doesn't go on the win-loss ledger.
Remember when Washington was rolling and Aaron Rodgers did a hard count, drew somebody offside, and then they dominated?
Who jumped? I have it in my mind as someone. I'm not positive.
I don't know it.
Take your best guess.
So what year is that? 2015?
Yes.
Chris Baker?
I think it's someone different.
I think it might be Pot Roast. Terrence Knighton.
No. Well, maybe. I have it as Trent Murphy. I think he got Trent Murphy to jump off sides. And all hell broke loose after that.
Because Washington was in control. Now, DeSean Jackson refused to get into the end zone. He had no interest in it. And he went sideways. And instead of like trying to get in, they ended up setting up for a field goal.
Devonta Adams, go back to whining on the show Receivers, by the way. Has anyone ever whined more than you did with the Raiders last year? He is not a fan of Commanders fans.
Trent Murphy.
Ben Standing of The Athletic next.